Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. This is your host, Mike Holt, on the Restore Australia radio show. And my guest today is Ram of the Bikers Against Islam and his lovely lady, Lisa. And they'll be talking to us today about the work of the organisation. So, Ram, perhaps you can introduce yourself first and give us a bit of an idea of what you do with the Bikers Against Islam.
Well, first I'd like to correct you. It's not Bikers Against Islam. It's American Bikers United Against Jihad. That is very important to us because we want to stress we are against jihad, which is a violent action. And that's what we're against more than anything. It is driven by Islam. We get that. But we are not anti-Muslims per se.
Okay. Fair enough.
So basically, American Bikers United Against Jihad started because we have noticed that the anti-West movement is usually when they have rallies, they mess quite a bit of people that come out in those rallies. And yet pro-West lacked in that way. And we were looking for a way to generate interest and attention. And in the United States, the only community that can achieve that would be the biking community.
Mm.
And we see that as a vehicle to get attention in order to raise awareness and educate in this threat of jihad to our homeland.
Okay. And also, I would believe that also, because it's very symbolic in America. Bikers in America, American bikers, symbolize freedom and strength.
Right. And I see on your shirt there, Ram, you've got POW. Does that stand for anything?
Yeah, prisoners of war. That's something we never must forget. That's why we always raise this issue. Many of them are left behind and forgotten.
Hmm.
And we want to stress that we will never forget them.
Good. Are you a veteran yourself?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. I served with the Air Force in the Vietnam War, the Australian Air Force.
Well, thank you for your service, Mike. I truly appreciate it. There's no question. But just so you know, within the biking community, many, if not most, are veterans.
Yes.
And the patriots. So that's also very, very important to stress.
Right. We have quite a few veteran bike groups down here too. So, Ram, what's your position in the organization?
Well, Lisa and I are the creators and co-presidents. And this is how it pretty much how it started. American Bikers United Against Jihad is a very young organization. We are in our infancy yet, and we are looking to grow. We are catching quite a bit of attention now, and many people are looking to join and support. So we're hoping to grow that in coming months or years. It does take time.
We actually had a much bigger group, but they removed our Facebook, our original Facebook page, so we had a start.
Oh, you too, yeah. I'm up to, I think, the fifth Facebook page for Restore Australia now. they don't like me, but anyway, we just struggle on, and they can't stop us. They can try, but they can't shut us up.
Well, that is the key. We actually run multiple pages. We actually also are the creators of the Islam Exposed page, which actually had close to 250,000 likes before they unpublished that particular page. But we have it running again, and it's already just about at 60,000 likes at the moment.
Mm.
So we don't give up as well, you know, and we never will. That is not an option, obviously. It's an obligation, and it's something that needs to be done.
I agree. Have you been to our websites at all, islamforinfidels.com and Restore Australia?
Well, I just recently looked a little bit around. You know, I haven't had much of a chance to do so. We are very busy, you know, besides holding a full-time job and trying to inform as many people as possible, and also trying to get our ride in May coming up. May 15th, upstate New York together. It takes quite a bit of our time, but I will certainly look a little more once we're done with this interview.
Okay. Whereabouts are you in America?
We are on the Jersey Shore area.
Oh, okay. Great. I've just posted a couple of links to our websites in there on the Skype. What's the name? And I'll post one to the Restore Australia website as well. So tell me, since you started the organisation, what help have you been doing? Have you had any activity at all?
Well, we haven't had any. Well, we were part of some rallies in D.C. It was together with some other bike clubs. Defenders of Liberty, we were doing a little bit of work with them.
Okay.
As we try to recruit some bikers within the area to join us. We are not MC, which is a motorcycle club, but we are an organization because there are quite...
we're more of a grassroots movement.
Exactly. And we are... As the MC, there a lot of protocol that needs to be followed, and there's an issue of territories and colors and so forth. So we basically, as an organization, it allows to people to basically take off their colors and come as individual, united under one mission.
Okay. Can you tell us what the mission is?
Well, the mission is to raise awareness and educate the American people about the threat of jihad in our homeland.
And also to be able to mobilize people into action, for instance, for all the anti-American rallies.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can counter some of them, because the wrong information is getting out there. Propaganda is just become systemic to every level of... our institutions, our government, and our educational system.
Yeah, we have the same problem here too. Our governments are slowly but surely destroying our freedoms. They're dumbing down our education system. In fact, they're trying to do that right now with another of our education institutions, what they call TAFE, which is the basically they are technical schools. And so you go there after you've finished your primary and high school, and you can learn a trade. And our governments are running riot without resorting to the, you know, responding to the will of the people.
Well, what's happening here is that the people are being so indoctrinated, and they're starting out that because it's infiltrated into the education system, they're buying out a lot of the textbook publishing companies. So the children are being indoctrinated. And, I mean, even with my own son, I can't have a conversation with him because he's been brainwashed.
Yeah, this is the problem. Luckily, I have two daughters, and luckily they see me doing this all the time, so they have a pretty good understanding. They're 10 and 16. Not that they get involved, but they do understand what I'm doing, and they know why. But, yeah, so you only have the one son?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a little lucky. I have three daughters. They are not involved as the same as yours, but they are very much supportive and understand what their dad is doing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm hoping to make a difference, but regardless, the difference that I will make is that my daughters will know down the road, because this is about the future of our children.
That's right.
More than anything else, they will know that their dad at least tried to do the right thing for them.
Well, I see there's a groundswell of support for the work that we're all doing right around the world. I talk to patriots everywhere in the US, Canada, United Kingdom, Europe, and the attitudes are changing, but we still have a long way to go. Let's take a break now, and I'm going to play a song by Ricky Martin, She Bangs. And of course, Islam doesn't like that. I'll be back shortly.
I thought that's all they did.
Yeah, but only in the afterlife. Back soon. Show, and today my guests are Ram and Lisa, and I won't try and replicate your name again because it's very long. Can you say it for us, please, Ram? It's the
American Bakers United Against Jihad.
Okay, great. And we've been talking about your organization and what you do, Let's talk now about what's actually happening in America, because I think you touched on that just before the song. What's going on over there?
Well, the bigger problem is the stealth jihad, what we refer to as. It's the infiltration of jihadists of Islam into our organizations and institutions, all the way down from the administration to law enforcement to our universities, schools, and so actually to our local churches and synagogues. And that is where the real danger looms. And this is what we're trying to bring up to light here in America.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we go.
An uphill battle.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle. It's not going to be simple. It's quite a bit for someone who's not involved or never understood before to wrap their heads around.
Mm.
So you have to start something more simple, and the way we chose to do so is to highlight what we call here homegrown jihad, which is jihadist camps in America. And there are as many as 22 to 35 of them across 22 states here in America where that we know about, and that is according to FBI. Obviously, everything that I'm going to tell you here, Mike, it's not something that Lisa and I are so brilliant and figured out by ourselves. It's basically stuff that the information that we get from our own law enforcement, the FBI, and from what Muslims themselves tell us. That's where we get our information.
Yeah, and, Muslims are not backwards in coming forwards with all the threats and so on, are they?
Well, many of them are brutally honest, which I do appreciate, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing that some of on the other side that hear it still choose not to believe it. That's astonishing to me, you know. I mean, my mother always told me, Ram, when someone tells you they want to kill you, believe it, you know. It'd be a good thing, you know.
Well, actually, I had a discussion on Facebook this morning with a what we call a lefty. I guess I'm not sure what you call them in America, but they're socialists.
Well, the same thing. Lefties is a good term, you know.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, he was making all these stupid statements and abusing me and carrying on, you know, and calling me names. And then I kept on providing...
We're the haters.
Yeah, and I kept on providing him links to proof of what I was saying. Didn't even bother to look. Just kept on abusing me. In the end, I just grew bored, you know. It's like playing chess with a pigeon. They shit all over the board and then scatter the pieces.
Well, that's how I initially started, and I'm sure Lisa as well, when we first began to get involved in this subject, is to try to, you know, argue back and forth and have conversation. But but we soon realized that really that doesn't get you anywhere.
No.
So at this point, we decided to more or less stay away from this type of activity and focus more of speaking to those who are looking for information and not sure what side of the fence they are in order to broaden the support base for our cause.
Well, what happens is if you argue based on a false premise, you really ultimately wind up giving credence to that false premise.
Mm.
If it starts on a fundamentally false level.
Yeah, I agree with you, but every now and again, I just like to have a little sport with them.
Yeah, and sometimes there are people who you can open their eyes. It's just very difficult for the Western mindset to understand that we don't all think the same and feel the same.
Yeah.
A lot of the Islamic countries, they're patriarchal countries, and they respect strength.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. They do respect strength. I've lived in Islamic countries. I went to high school in Penang in Malaysia. I've traveled throughout Indonesia. I've seen what's going on over there. I lived in Thailand for 30 years. I've seen what's going on down in southern Thailand. So when people come to me and say, oh, you know, you're a racist and a bigot, you don't know anything about Islam, boy, have I got a surprise for them. But
well, Ram is from the Middle East also.
Well, I'm also from the Middle East, and I grew up in the same type of an environment. Strength is the language they speak.
That's right.
And and people need to understand that. And history is very clear that there can never be peace unless it's through leverage of strength.
That's right.
And the sooner we recognize that, and obviously the good side should have the strength and be willing to use that. There's nothing wrong with dangling a carrot in front of them as long as you hold a big stick in your other hand.
Well, that's
and,
it.
That would be very effective.
Well, as Chairman Mao said, peace comes out of the barrel of a gun.
Unfortunately, it's true.
Yeah, it is, but that's the reality that we have to face. So you mentioned that you're trying to educate people. How do you reach out to them?
Okay, well, again, bikers, that is a powerful weapon, especially here in the United States. I'm not sure how it is in any other country. But here, when you have a massive amount of bikers, a big group of bikers, people pay attention.
Hmm.
They want to know what's going on, regardless to what it is. And the biking community actually is wonderful. They do so much good work for veterans, for children, for abused women. They very, very active in those causes. But all these causes are reactive causes. Mm. We are trying to get the focus a little bit from some of that into a proactive type of focus to try to avoid these situations in the future. And when you mess a group of bikers, again, people will listen, people will pay attention.
Mm.
And this is the tool we are looking to use right now in order to get that message across.
Okay. We're going to take another short break now because at this part of the show I read out a surah from the Quran and then we discuss that and then I'll come back to you. So, back soon. Each week I read out a verse from the Quran so that we can examine it and understand what Islam is all about. This week we're reading the Quran, Surah 9, that's verse 9, chapter 29. And it says, fight those who believe not in Allah, nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which hath been forbidden by Allah and His Messenger, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, even if they are of the people of the book, until they pay the jizya with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. End of quote. People of the book refers to Christians and Jews. So according to this verse, they are to be violently subjugated, with the sole justification being their religious status. In other words, this is their justification for waging jihad against us. Now in verse, or Surah 9, verse 33, the Quran says that Muslims are told by Allah that He has chartered them to make Islam superior over all religions. This chapter was one of the final revelations from Allah, and it set in motion the tenacious military expansion in which Muhammad's companions managed to conquer two-thirds of the Christian world in the next 100 years. Islam is intended to dominate all other people and faiths, and we are seeing this today. So, when you see all of these attacks, don't think it's just something strange. This is a concerted effort by Islam throughout the world to dominate and conquer us, and impose Islam on all of us. Beware. Now, you just heard me talking with Ram and Lisa from the American, Ram?
Bikers United Against Jihad.
There you go. I'll get it soon. And we're talking about what you guys do over there. We also just read out from the Quran. And have you read the Quran yet, Ram?
No, and I actually have no interest in doing so, to tell you the truth. It's just something that does not interest me. I'm a guy that's driven by common sense and perspective. And all I need to see is the fatwas that are being issued around the world and the brutality that comes out of particularly the Islamic community, unlike any other community. And for me, that is enough. I don't need to read the Quran or to try to understand what it says in the Quran. Religious Muslims, that they're telling me that what they do is driven by the Quran. And I believe them. Like I said, I choose to believe when they tell me so.
Yeah. Well, I have unfortunately read it. It wasn't very nice reading. But that's why I read out the Quran on the show, and then we examine what it's all about, because when people understand what's going on, then we can counter the problems that we face with it. And it really is a very nasty ideology. Just a couple of things I thought I'd share with you. Here in Australia, we have quite an active patriot movement here that's growing and growing in leaps and bounds. When I started out at this work about 5 years ago, I was just one of a very small number of people crying out in the wilderness, but that's now grown to thousands and thousands. And in fact, I'm hoping that there's at least 5,000 to 10,000 people have converged on Canberra, our capital city today, to rally against the spread of Islam in Australia. Various patriot groups have gathered there. And as you and I speak, I think they're probably rallying about now. So that's one very positive aspect of what we're doing here. Restore Australia, I don't know if you know much about us, but we're a political activist group and what we call a political watchdog. We keep an eye on the politics going on here, and we expose the rorts and the troubles and the problems and the corruption. So some of the things that we've been doing, we've set up a group called the Restore Australia Street Reps. And this is just a very simple system. We get people to register, and when they register, they commit to distribute flyers across the up and down their street. So it's really grassroots stuff. And I send out flyers. In the last few months, I've sent over 120,000 flyers across Australia about the halal scam. And this time we're going to be printing up a new set of flyers about the government. And actually, with this first one will be about the GST, I forget what they call it, but it's a tax on everything. And we've paid this GST tax 10% for many years, and now they're talking about putting it up to 15%. So the thing is with these taxes is they never ask us, we the people, if we want to pay. So our little brochure will be talking about that, and we'll get those out into letterboxes across Australia. We also print up and sell stickers. We've got two types of stickers. One is Ban Islam, which is about an 80 millimeter size. It's quite large, and it's got a skull and crossroads with Ban Islam on it. And we have another one, a little red sticker that people stick everywhere. Beware, halal food funds terrorists. So these little stickers help to raise awareness, and people see them everywhere and they go, oh, what's that all about? And so they come to our website and then they can learn what's going on.
Well, this is something that we somewhere down the road would also kind of like to explore. We were looking down the road to have small groups of whether MCs or bikers ride around, whether it's in New York City or any other city, and with the bike distribute informational pamphlets and flyers to people up and down the street. So
regionally.
Yeah, that's
the way to do it. Yeah, I've actually thought about going to the biker clubs here. We have two types of biker clubs. We call have the bikers, who are recreational riders, guys, you know, who love riding bikes. And then we have the bikies. And they're off, these bikie groups are often infiltrated by the Muslims. So, you know, unfortunately, they're the ones that get all the press notice. So we have to be very careful how we behave down here, because the press is very left-wing. And we're getting into all sorts of problems with them until one day they will wake up and realize that they're in just as much danger as we are.
Unfortunately, it's usually, you know, a rude awakening when it's too late.
Yeah.
We are beginning to have the same problem here. The media is an arm, a propaganda arm. It's part of the machine.
Mm.
And it's funded, even a conservative network, a so-called conservative network, really the only major media network that is conservative on mainstream media. You know, a Saudi prince owns the largest share, or did. He might have sold it, but I think some of the money is hidden now.
Yeah, but they also just pledged to pump, I believe, in the excess of $50-some billion into advancing the influence of Islam and jihad here in the United States.
Yeah.
And money talks, you know.
The Saudi prince.
Yes, I've just read an article in reference to that. But getting back to the bikers, as you mentioned, it's the same here. There is a very tiny percentage of bikers that do engage in criminal activities, but it is a very, very tiny percentage. And the media does choose to focus on that more than anything else. Ignoring the fact that by a far large majority, in excess, I would say, of 98 to 99% of bikers of America are basically comprised of firefighters, veterans, law enforcement, lawyers, average family people that are good people that are out there for the sake of riding and for patriotism and so forth. But again, we are very careful in how we choose our words in American Bikers United Against Jihad. That's why we choose the word jihad, because we are not against Muslims per se, as I've mentioned before. And our ride coming up in May 15, which will be on the headquarters of the Islamic camps here in America, it's a right for national security. It's not to go out there and be a threat to anyone. We are no threat to anyone in any way, period. And we stress that.
Yeah. Well,
we want to be careful that we're not marginalized as haters, because that's not our goal.
Well, that's the same thing over here. Restore Australia, Reclaim Australia, and a few other groups. We're all in the middle. We've got mums and dads. We've got grandpas and grandmas. You know, we're just ordinary people who are standing up for our rights and for the security of our culture, our laws. And the press only looks at the troublemakers. So we have a bit of a problem with them over here too.
Well, unfortunately, it should be our government and our politician that should handle that issue, because that is the main purpose here, national security. And by them being complicit and not acting on that, it's only natural that there will be some nationalist uprising in the country, of people unfortunately feel they have to do it themselves, you know, and that's the sad part. We should not have to do it ourselves. We should have our government do this for us. And
instead, we're fighting our government. We're at odds with it.
Exactly. Look,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go on. Finish first.
Well, we are looking to basically send a message to Washington to start doing the right thing, to take the right kind of action, so we don't have to.
Well, that's exactly what's happening down in Canberra today. They're allied with the Pegida movement from Europe, so it's gone worldwide. I believe that it's also happening today in America. I had an interview a couple of weeks ago with a chap in New York, well, no, he's in Massachusetts, who I think got in touch with our guys down here and with Pegida. So they're coordinating. And this is the beauty of our radio show and the Facebook and everything else. We all talk to each other now, and we're exchanging information, and we're starting to coordinate our activities. And this is how we can win, because we're united. We all have the same purpose. We all have the same aim. And now that we're starting to exchange information, we can grow stronger. I'm going to take another break now so that we can listen to our favorite, I don't know what you'd call him. He's a naughty lad. But I call him Mighty Mo. So sit back, enjoy the show, and we'll be back very shortly. Mighty Mo! Greetings once again, listeners. As Mighty Mo and Fizzy struggle with weighty philosophical matters, such as what to call a Muslim on a toilet, or the most popular kids show in Mecca, his loyal followers continue the battle for Mecca. Will they secure the town for Mighty Mo? Oh, who knows and who cares? Come, join me, listeners, in Mo's tent to listen to their discussions. Oh, and be patient, please. The answers to those questions will become clear soon enough. Oh, Fizzy, it's been a whole week. When are you going to tell me what you believe Islam is? Oh, Mighty Mo, you might want to see a therapist. A whole week since we last spoke? No, it was really only a moment ago that you asked me. You must be losing your marbles. A therapist? Don't be ridiculous. Now go ahead and tell me what you have observed. Oh, very well, O unctuous one. From my observations, I believe Islam allows a good Muslim to sleep with my son's wife, as long as I lop off his head first. Ah, I see. A candidate for the therapist. Oh, Fizzy, you are a laugh. Or as he likes to be called, a head shrink. Oh, Mighty Mo, you are too funny. But let me continue. Islam tells me to sleep with my Jewish enemy's wife and to take any slave in my left hand. I think that means my right hand is still free to play with myself, too.
Yes, that's right, Fizzy. Go on.
Well, Mighty Mo, I have seen you take young girls like Aisha when only 7 the first time you set eyes on her, and 9 when you finally took her to your bed. As you say, O Mighty Prophet, if they are old enough to bleed, they are old enough to butcher.
Silence, you fool! I have not butchered Aisha. Yet, but the day is young. Oh, but she looked so sweet the first time I met her. She had eyes more alluring than the most beautiful camel. There she was, sitting in front of that great storyteller, Ali Damaus. I remember the story Ali was reciting. It was Dora the Exploder.
Oh, yes, my sublime sexual predator. I love that story, too.
Go on, Fizzy. Tell me what else you understand.
Oh, why, Mighty Mo, I have seen you marry and divorce many women. And so easy to do, too.
Yes. Allah, in his infinite wisdom, allows any Muslim to marry and divorce a woman as he pleases. Why? You can even marry one this afternoon and divorce her tomorrow morning just by saying, I divorce you 3 times. But you have to say it quickly. You know how women hate to let you get a word in edgeways.
Oh, Islam is truly a sex maniac's religion, Mighty Mo.
Yes, and we are all promised 72 virgins in heaven. Allah is not stupid.
Who would become a martyr if there was no promise of unlimited sex when we die? Boy, but Mighty Mo, what happens after we have had our way with the 72 virgins?
Allah is wise, my friend. he heals them up the next morning and makes them virgins again.
Oh, really? That's unbelievable.
Do you question Allah's wisdom and generosity, Fizzy?
Oh, no, rampant and merciless one. I merely meant that it is the most amazing piece of news you have imparted so far.
Talking of imparting something, I must leave you for a moment.
Oh, where are you going, Almighty Mo?
I am going to contribute to Muslim Relief.
Muslim Relief? I don't believe I have heard of that charity, O beneficent one.
Fool! It is a polite way of saying I am going to the toilet.
Oh, silly me. Ha 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 ha.
Is a load off my mind. Tell me, Fizzy, what does Allah say about foreplay?
Oh, that is easy, O great and smelly one. We must tickle the goat under the chin.
You have learned well, Fizzy. Now leave me for a while and send in my favorite houri.
Oh, which one is that, O lustrous fornicator?
You remember that young Jewish girl I captured last week, you know? You seen my muff?
I hear and obey, Almighty Mo. And there we will leave our dirty duo to their nefarious devices until next time, listeners. But before I go, let me ask you, what do you call an evil Muslim? Yes, you guessed it. Muhammad. Tune in next time to hear more adventures of
Mighty Mo.
Now, we were talking before about how we're all starting to unite and everything. I'd like to touch on what's going on politically over there. I saw in the Ohio preliminaries that I reckon Trump was robbed. I think they cheated. Do you?
Oh, yeah.
That was Iowa. Well, you know, anytime there's voter fraud, regardless to who you support, you should stand up against it. Mm-hmm. That was underhanded. We cannot approve of that. It was deceitful and wrong, period, mm-hmm. no matter who you support. And this is part of why much of the movement is behind Trump today. It's because he is a truly, him and I would say Ben Carson as well, are the outsiders. We like Cruz, but Cruz, any way you want to slice it, he's still a politician. And, mm-hmm. and what happened in Iowa sort of proves it somewhat to me, you know.
Well, listen, I campaigned during the last election, and I saw this firsthand go on. The RNC chair, who, which is actually, you know, for the Republican Party
mm-hmm.
in a certain area, made phone calls saying that the candidate that I was campaigning for had suspended his campaign, but everybody come out and vote for the establishment person. So I know that this is customary. This customarily goes on with the establishment. It's kind of dirty pool. And, you know, everybody thinks that Cruz is non-establishment, all his supporters. But to me, this proves that he lacks integrity and that he's part of that system that we're trying to emancipate ourselves from.
Right. Yeah, we, you know, Restore Australia, as I said, is a political body, but we are actually campaigning to bring in what we call citizens-initiated referendums so that the people can determine how the government behaves and also to make our politicians accountable to the people. Now, we've fought long and hard with our own consciences about this to figure out whether we become a political party and fight in their arena or if we stay out. And I had so many people asking me to form a party or to stand that I decided in the end I have to. So I will be standing with any luck in the next election. It's a rocky road that way to get there because, you know, it takes a lot of money and time, and I'm a bit short on both. But I do intend to run if I can. And the whole point is, once we bring in citizens-initiated referendums, I will initiate a referendum to amend the way that our whole electoral system works. We'll completely destroy the current one and bring in a new one. And that way we'll only vote for independent candidates. There will be no more political parties if I have my way. And that way we'll get rid of all this systemic corruption, because it's the parties that cause the problems, as you can see in America too. So,
well, what drives me, it's an acronym that I like to call GRIP, Get Rid of Incompetent Politicians. Mm. That's how this country was founded initially, by our forefathers. Mm. A farmer from one place was supposed to come, serve the country for a couple of years, and then go for 2 or 4 years and go back to where he was, and the next one step in.
Right.
And until we as Americans learn to do that, keep throwing them out. Never vote for anybody that is incumbent in office. That's not going to get accomplished. And I don't care how good a job you did when you were in. If you've done a good job, then God bless you. I'll shake your hand. Now go back. There are many others that can do just as good a job as you can.
Exactly.
I have no doubt in my mind that that can happen.
We also have these super PACs that are allowed to, you know, huge paths, you know, usually, you know, subsidized by big corporations, and, you know, each hand is washing the other.
Well,
and they're able to fundraise and campaign for different candidates.
Lisa is right. Super PAC is a big issue, and we actually, the media seems to be a super PAC for the Democratic Party, sort of, and it's sad. It really is sad, and that. Thank God for the internet, as you said, that people like you and I and many others can connect with each other and bypass this craziness.
Yeah.
And hopefully it can grow and continue. And that's a tool I'm sure that will focus down the road to try to take it away from us. We can't let that happen.
Exactly. And, you know, we have our policies on the website now, restoreaustralia.org.au. You might want to go and have a look through those, because it might give you some ideas. And on the Islam for Infidels website, we have quite a lot of activities on there, or things that you can do. And some of these have spread all over the world. The sticker idea has spread wonderfully. I've had messages from the UK, for instance, where they've made up stickers and put them on food in the supermarkets, you know. And one guy got arrested for it just recently and made a huge splash in the news. But the beauty of this is that every time this happens, it spreads the word, and more people wake up and they say, oh, my word, is this going on? I'm paying a fee to a religion that I don't even belong to. So, there's lots of ways that we can all help each other out. So have a look on my website. Do you have a website?
We have a website for the Islam Exposed page that we did, that we developed ourselves. We're obviously short of funds, and luckily Lisa is smart and good enough to know how to build a website. Self-taught, by the way. And she does a great job.
We don't have a website yet.
So we are working on it, and we will have a website up shortly, as soon as we find some time to get to it. But when I say we, I mean Lisa.
Okay, good on you, Lisa. Well, when you do, let me know, and you know, we'll link the websites and also the Facebook pages and exchange information that way too. I think it's about time now for another song, so I'd like to play something by Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side. Back soon.
Hi. Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island. In the back room she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go doot 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 doot. Gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Alright. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fast. She said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do 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 do.
Radio show. This is your host Mike Holt, and my guests today are Ram and Lisa with the American Bikers United Against Jihad. Did I get it right?
Wow!
There you go. See, told you I'd get it right eventually. And we've been discussing what you guys do over there in America, and in the last segment we were talking about the political situation here. We've also covered other activities. Would you have anything else you'd like to say and get out to the listeners?
Well, yes. We like to people to go to our Facebook page and check out our upcoming event on May 15. We will be riding up to
upstate
New York in the Catskill to in Hancock, New York, to be exact, where the compound of Islamburg is.
Yes, I heard about that. I actually saw it on your Facebook page. What's this Islamburg?
Well, Well, we produced that video where people can see. It's actually a very nice video. We hope people will share it around. Islamabad, as I mentioned before, is one of the headquarters of what's known as the jihadist camps in America. These are compounds that are owned by Sheikh. Mubarak Ali Jilani. He's a Pakistan cleric that was in the United States back in the 80s. He's also the founder of the Al-Fukra terrorist organization that operates out of Pakistan. Now, they established these campgrounds across the United States where they recruit people out of our prison systems and some of our university into converting into Islam and provide a place for them to live and at the same time indoctrinate them into jihad and train them in jihadic tactics. According to the FBI, they have been suspected of firebombings and assassinations throughout the country. This is what we want to bring awareness to, to these particular camps within our country. And we're hoping for it to be a success because we would like to perhaps make it an annual thing and to ride on more than just one of them in the years to come across the United States. It's very hard for people who don't understand much about the subject to wrap their heads around the stealth jihad part, which is the biggest threat we have in our country, and it's well advanced. So we want to basically introduce them to something that's a little easy for the average American to understand, that there are jihadists here in America
training
to kill us.
Although they deny that that's what's going on at these camps.
Well, they lie. That's tachia.
Yeah. Now, people, right. Our mission is we're not looking to be the one to close them down or do anything of that sort. We want the FBI to do that. The FBI's hands are tied because the Al-Fukra terrorist organization is not listed on the international terrorist list by the State Department.
It used to be,
but it was removed by the Clinton State Department under Barack Obama administration for lack of activities. I believe the people in India will disagree with that. Actually, from what I understand, the shoe bomber was connected to the Al-Fukra terrorist organization. And also, Daniel Pearl, the journalist that was beheaded, one of the first ones that was beheaded, was on his way to interview Sheikh Jilani in Pakistan when he was captured and beheaded. So I believe lack of activity is a very mild statement. And the day that the State Department, we are calling on them to relist them on the international terrorists so that way the FBI can go and do the job.
Yeah, we have the same problem down here. We have a group called Hizbut Tahrir. I've probably heard of them too. They're a well-known terrorist organization and named so in many countries. And yet down here in Australia, they're not designated as a terrorist organization. And yet we've seen videos of them in a local mosque here in Sydney indoctrinating children in jihad. And they have written an Islamic constitution for Australia. It's on our website. And they are supporting Hamas and all of these other terrorist groups, and yet our government refuses to take any action against them. It's ridiculous.
Here as well, the reason we know about the activity of the stealth jihad, the infiltration here in America, is because of a document called the Explanatory Memorandum.
Of the strategic goals of the Muslim Brotherhood in North America.
Right. Yeah, read that one too. That's on our website. Yes.
It was actually a 1991 document, but in 2004, it was uncovered where, one of the hubs of terrorism are in Virginia. And it was introduced into evidence, I think it was 2008, in the largest terrorist fundraising trial in U.S. history.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, their investigation went back all the way before even Hamas was designated as a terrorist organization. And it named 20, I'm starting to lose track of the details, I used to know it so well, 28 or 29 organizations in North America that are really offshoots of this group, and they operate as if, you know, they're benign. But what they're doing is covertly funneling money to terrorism, and they're nonprofits. A lot of them are nonprofit organizations that we're even, you know, as American taxpayers, help fund. And this document, so few people know about this trial,
mm-hmm.
and what these groups are, what their main objective is, to destroy America from within and to infiltrate every single organization on every single level. And they've achieved that. The media, education, and they talk about it in this document step by step. And it's exactly what has transpired.
Which goes back to what I said before, Mike. I choose to believe it.
Hmm. Well, this is not the same document that we have, but I believe that that document you're talking about sounds very similar to a document called The Project, which was written by the Muslim Brotherhood. And that one was actually uncovered in Switzerland, I forget the year, when they raided a mosque there. And it does the same thing. It's got about 27 or 28 steps on how to infiltrate and take over a nation like ours. So it sounds like it's the same document. But, yeah.
I can send you we'll send you a link to it.
Yeah, okay. And I'll send you a link to ours. Funnily enough, we have a TV show down here, which was featured a guy called Waleed Ali. You've heard of him?
Yeah.
Okay. And the name of the TV show is called The Project. And, you know, it's right there in front of our faces, and people are not making the connection. They're not connecting the dots up. But I've written two exposés on this guy, and there's some very, very suspicious things in his past. So these are the type of people that we face. And unfortunately, the Muslim Brotherhood is composed of people with very good educations. They are engineers and lawyers and people like that.
Right, the misnomer that, you know, they're poor and uneducated.
Oh, well, most of the Muslims are in the Middle East. But the guys who are running all of this, who have the agenda,
exactly. They
are very well educated, they're very intelligent, and they are dangerous. So we have to be aware of this, and we need to work together to overcome it. So I'm very pleased to meet you, Ram and Lisa. It's been great talking to you, but we're going to have to wrap up the show now. Thank you very much for coming on to the Restore Australia radio show, and let's stay in touch.
It's been a pleasure, Mike. I'd just like to give a quick shout-out to Australia Love It or Live It Facebook page. We've been working together with them. There are great guys and girls over there.
Oh,
and I'd like to let them know that we appreciate their support and support them as well.
Yeah, Kim's a wonderful woman. She's done an amazing job. And actually, her and I are quite good friends, and we talk all the time. So I'm glad to hear you know her. Do you know Kimberly Bade in Tennessee?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
she's a good friend.
Oh, there you go.
We talk to her on the phone on a regular basis.
Oh, great.
And
yeah,
we
she's
in D.C.
She's another wonderful patriot. Yeah.
Yes, she is.
Yes, so you can have a talk to her about me. She's a great lady, and I talk to her quite often too. So, oh, you see, we're building these these links between us all, exchanging information, and this is how we will win this
mm-hmm.
fight. My friends, thank you very much.
One more thing, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
People, wake up and smell the jihad.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yep. Good slogan. Thank you. And thanks for coming on the
show.
Thank you
so much.
Bye now.
Thank you for having us.
Bye-bye.
This is the Restore Australia radio show with your host, Mike Holt, signing off. Until next time. Here's a message to Islam. You can try to deny us our freedoms and our rights. You can try to impose your idiotic ideology on us, but you never will, because we believe in freedom, and we will fight you to your debt.
Pretending that I'm alright when I'm missing my home.